Our scripture reading this morning from the Hebrew Testament, Psalm 139, the first 12 verses, one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, and there are so many beautiful psalms. Very, very early this morning, I was reading through this once again, and suddenly I wonder if I could still remember it in my mother tongue. So I just closed my eyes and I recited without error the first 8 verses. And then my mind didn't want to go any further. It just got confused. But so it is that we grew up with these lovely psalms, passages in the Bible, and it remains part of our souls throughout our lives. Let's read Psalm 139. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. And then up ahead, and you there too. Your reassuring presence, coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? To be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. And then to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 23. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. And they were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. And Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. A short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. And these two were sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their fish nets. And Jesus made the same offer to them. And they were just as quick to follow, abandoning boat and father. From there he went all over Galilee. He used synagogues for meeting places and taught people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme. That beginning right now, they were under God's government, a good government. He also healed people of their diseases and the bad effects of their bad lives. Here ends our scripture readings. May it be that you and I will discern when God is speaking with us, that we will be listening. Some weeks ago, over Christmas time, one of the many proud grandmothers in our church introduced me to two of her grandchildren as they left the door, as they left through the dark narthex. And they were two beautiful, cute little kids. And they were looking up to me, so I asked Grandma about how old are they? And then she picked the littlest one up and said, "This is the attorney. He is 2. And this is the doctor. She is 4. I didn't need any further explanation because I speak grandparent language as well. We know what we mean. When we see our offspring, we already dream dreams for them. We already see into the future. And oh God, we say, let it be, let it be. Let my children and their children have a better world, a better life. Lead them towards the light." And this week, our nation celebrates and remembers the immortal words, "I have a dream." Martin Luther King's "I Have a Dream" speech changed the nation and the world forever. And I can assure you that is the case. Because shortly after that speech, we far away in Africa heard the message. It reverberated around the world. Never ever will the world as we knew it be the same again. And I remember for many of us the dark fears, the uncertainties. No, we never experienced so much of a color problem. It was more a problem of standard of civilization, because we lived in a land of extremities where 27 dialects are spoken and 11 languages amongst us. So nobody really could communicate with anybody. But we understood the message. And it came to pass. His dream was born during a time of crude injustice. And today we all say his cause was right. Dr. King's vision of freedom and equality for all has become the dream of millions, not only in America, but across the world. Dreams and visions of harmony and unity amongst all people are still reverberating across the world. And here is the message. Even an assassin's bullet was powerless to destroy the dream. People everywhere still give their all for ideals of justice, of equality, and acceptance. And I once again read part of that speech, and I was just touched by a closing paragraph where Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." It made me think, Martin Luther King, you were not the first after all. It sounds so familiar if you know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you are reminded that Christianity also began with nothing but a vision and a dream. The story of our Christian faith is the story of men and women who got close enough to Jesus to be inspired by the dream of Jesus. In those days, says the Bible, Jesus spoke about the coming kingdom of God. And since then, we as Christians define the kingdom of God as a place where there is righteousness, where peace rules, and where there is joy in the Holy Spirit, In other words, joy in the presence of God. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he shared his dream with poor fisher folk. And now the Bible says that Simon Peter and Andrew immediately let go of all their other interests and followed Jesus. Now, that was a tough one for me to understand. Because if a stranger comes up to me and he invites me to let go of what I'm doing and to follow, well, I'm not so sure that I would. So I delved a little bit in all this and wondered, and finally I sort of decided for myself, well, maybe Jesus was already known, and maybe they heard about what he was saying and what he was doing to other people, and it was just when he addressed them. But that's obviously just me thinking. But one thing is for sure, when Jesus invited, they abruptly followed. That's what the Bible says. No discussion. Not even, we'll think about it and get back to you tomorrow. No, not even, don't call us, we'll call you. Obviously, something unusual happened that day, long ago, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. There must have been something very special about the person of Jesus Christ. The message got through to unlearned people. People who mostly couldn't read or write. They understood. They sensed. Some difficult to define quality must have set him apart. So those four fishers, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, got really excited when they found themselves confronted by Jesus of Nazareth. They left their families, they left their jobs, and they left everything important to them for an uncertain future as followers, as disciples of Jesus Christ. They were only the first. Through the centuries, untold millions of men and women heard the message of salvation in and through Jesus Christ. One day, maybe not at the seashore, but somewhere, many of us heard and understood, maybe for the first time, and we whispered, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I've never regretted heeding that call. Often unfaithful, but always lured back to the breast of my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And I know if there was time for witness, that these walls would reverberate from the sound of our praises, as many of you will talk about the time when you became aware of the man from Galilee. We may ask, what was so special about the dream, the vision of Jesus? Well, today we can put it all in context. He had God's kingdom in mind. Already then, Jesus had a dream of a changed, different world. A world with peace and no war. With love and no hate. Where justice, righteousness, without apartheid and discrimination, rule. Oh yes, he would fall victim to the cross in Jerusalem. Like King fell victim to a bullet somewhere in America. But the message survived. And the message is still being preached from untold millions of pulpits across the world, from mouth to mouth, from stranger to stranger, from friend to friend. A message that conquered the hearts and hopes, even of the impoverished, despised, and overlooked Jews of Nazareth. Jesus was one of them that battled to make a life living on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. What was the message? The message was simple. The Bible says, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And many believed, and they followed. What was there about the kingdom that got those ancient anglers so excited? One also wonders why so many Christians in our time seem to have lost their excitement. I know there are some of us who remember the days when we were on fire for Jesus Christ. That was the expression of every desire of our hearts. We were fearless in our witness, ceaseless in our good deeds, standing out in a changing world because we knew in whom we believed. And thank you, God, there are men and women in this church who have never faltered. I've known you for almost 9 years now. You're enriching my life. You're enriching the lives of others. We have no more important business with one another than the message of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Why is Christianity, according to all statistics, waning, especially in America? Why are they finding that the percentages took a nosedive for almost half a century now? Why is it that so many people resent the gospel of Jesus Christ, turn their backs on it, make us feel unwelcome when we mention the name of our precious Savior and Lord? Could it be that many of us got so accustomed to the message that we simply translated it in a bunch of laws, like straitjackets? You must do this, you must do that. You must be baptized in this way or that way. If not, you're going to hell if you don't. You know the stories. From the most extreme fundamentalism to utter, I don't care. I sometimes wonder, are we still clear about the message that God gave us through Jesus Christ to bring to a suffering and dying world? I just love the story of this lady who heard from her friends that dogs were much healthier if you would only feed them a tablespoon of cod liver oil each day. And she loved her dog. Let's call him Fluffy. And therefore, each day she started following the same routine. First of all, she chased the dog down until she caught Fluffy, and then there was a big dog, then she wrestled Fluffy down, and then finally she managed to force the fishy remedy down the dog's throat. Till one day, during the struggle, in the middle of this grueling medicating effort, the bottle got kicked over. She just had a deep sigh. She let go of her grip on Fluffy so that she could wipe up the mess. Then it happened, to her surprise. Fluffy trotted over to the puddle and began lapping up the cod liver oil. You know what? The dog actually loved the cod liver oil. Fluffy was only objecting to the method of application. There's a message for me. There's a message for you, for me. That's a message for you. It is how we love God, how we speak about salvation in and through Jesus Christ, how we reveal what we believe with all our hearts, that people get the message. Not on rule 1 and rule 2 and rule 3, but liberty in Christ, liberating us, renewing us, preparing us for God's service at times, difficult times like these. Oh yes, Jesus had a vision for the world, a dream, a picture of how life can and how life should be. Jesus already 2,000 years ago saw a world where God finally ruled in every heart, a world of righteousness, a world of peace, a world of justice, a world of love, of harmony and unity. And Jesus called it the kingdom of God. I checked some translations, the realm of God, and they all agree. Jesus saw the kingdom of God, where God takes over the rule in individual lives and of societies and of the world. And Jesus said then, so long ago, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's available. It's not merely a distant dream. It's a present possibility. And oh, 2,000 years of horror have gone by since then. Countless millions and billions have suffered to the extreme because we had our convictions. And we were the only ones that were right in the entire world. And cruelty took over in many nations and across the world. And we moved away from God. And the vision of the kingdom of God almost disappeared. Maybe it's time that you and I be reminded what Jesus said long ago on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Can we still get excited about a world in which you can always trust people to do the right thing because God lives in their heart? Getting excited just about the thought of a world without child abuse, without murder, without broken families or drug addiction. Just imagine a world without fear, poverty or disease. Well, the earliest Christians definitely got excited. And Jesus' dream also became their inspiration. They believed that such a world was possible, and they gave their lives to see it become a reality. And if you think I'm saying that it's going to happen in our time, no, I'm not. Yes, I definitely had hopes and dreams a half a century ago, but I think I've grown up since then, beginning to understand as the message of Jesus Christ spread across the world. So you and I share a bit of light. Sometimes it's just a kind deed. Sometimes it's just our hand deep in our pocket. Sometimes it's a quiet prayer. Sometimes it's a deed of compassion. But the message of the Fisher of Galilee still controls the lives of many beloved people I know. And when we lay them to rest, I can always say they made a difference. They made a difference. They strengthened the vision of the kingdom of God. The disciples became excited. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of people. They knew all about fishing for fish, but Jesus was now calling them to something far more significant. He was calling them to introduce men and women to the kingdom of love and peace, the kingdom of God on earth. They would not be passive spectators of this coming kingdom, but they would become active participants. They would make a difference, a lasting difference in their world and in individual lives. No wonder they were excited. After all, as the grandmother said there at the door, they were going to change the world. There's something very special about being a Christian. After a lifetime, I know you and I feel the same. We shall never exchange Jesus Christ for this world. We would rather have silver, have Jesus, than silver or gold. We made a choice and we shall carry it through. And those who are still wondering about Christianity, come over and share the dream. True to the instructions of Jesus Christ, they went to the ends of the world and they brought us together today, still inviting ordinary people like you and me, saying once again, follow me. I want to make you a fisher of people. Oh, deep, deep in my heart, I do believe that we haven't lived in vain. I do believe that if not us, our children or their children shall live in peace. One day. Oh God, let it be. Amen.